This week's parsha is Shmini, and it's also a parsha HaChodesh, the fourth and final special parsha leading up to Pesach and Purim to Pesach. I'd actually like to dedicate the shir tonight to all the grandparents and great grandparents out there, and all the zakenim, all the people who are elderly people who are up in years of full of wisdom and strength. And you'll see why in a moment. Specifically, I want to dedicate it in their honor. Let me go back to something I said last year, not Parsha Shmini, but Parsha Sachodesh. I suggested a new idea in one of the comments that we make at the Seder. At the Seder, a little bit after the Manishtana, we say Avadim Hayinu. We say this phrase Yachol Mirosh Chodesh. That you would have thought that perhaps the Seder should be not on the night of the 15th of Nisan, but maybe all 2 weeks earlier, maybe this coming Monday night, which is a Rosh Chodesh. Yeah, if you're not ready yet, you got a couple of days to get ready for it. The good news is that we don't follow this opinion, but had we followed this opinion, again, it would be the night of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And again, the classic reason why people you generally assume that the Baal Haggadah makes that havamina, that suggestion, is because the first mitzvah for the Jewish people as a nation was Rosh Chodesh. Perhaps that's when we really became a nation, when God actually was mitzvah, commanded us in mitzvahs, began that relationship with that Kadosh Baruch Hu. So even though we didn't actually leave Egypt yet at that point, still was another 2 weeks away. But because of that monumental mo that moment, that tzivor, that command, that relationship that began, perhaps that's why the Seder would have been that night. And then the Baal HaGadah says, no, we learn out from the Pesukim, it's actually the night of the 15th of Nisan. I give a different suggestion based upon the Ramban, his introduction to Sefer Shmos, where the Ramban tells us that you think the redemption occurred on the night of the 15th. Well, that really was only the beginning of the redemption. The entire book of Shemos is the book of Geula, the book of redemption. And the Exodus from Egypt is just the first story, just the first half of the Sefer. But we know we recently spent the last number of weeks going through the last five parshas in Shemos, which primarily deal with the Mishkan, the Hakamas HaMishkan. So the Ramban says in his introduction again to Sefer Shemos, he says, Mitzrayim, when they left Egypt, even though they left the house of bondage, golim, on some level they were still considered exiles. Ki hayu be'eretz lo lahem, nevuchim bamidbar, they were still wandering in the desert in a land that was not theirs. Har Sinai, but when they came to Sinai, also a Mishkan, and they constructed the Mishkan in the wilderness of Sinai. V'shava Kadosh Baruch Hu v'hishra Shechina hinaso b'neihem. Then God's divine presence returned and rested upon them. It was clear at that moment that they had this connection, this relationship, this intimate proximity, close proximity to Hashem. Oshavu es mala avosam. At that point, they returned to where they were at the time of the Avos, the time of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. They once again achieved that closeness with Hashem only at that point after Har Sinai and after the construction of the Mishkan. Ba'az and them, not Shugulim, only at that point were they truly redeemed. Only at that point were they truly redeemed. Now, at what point was the Mishkan complete? At what point did God's presence once again dwell within the Mishkan and therefore within the camp of the Jewish people? So at the very, very end of Sefer Shemos, in Parshas Pekudei, we're told the following, beginning of Shishi, the sixth Aliyah, Vayhi b'chodesh harishon, it was in the first month, which in the Torah that always refers to Nisan, b'shana hashenis, is now a year later, it's a year after the Exodus, the Echad L'Chodesh, on the first day of the month, meaning Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Hukama Mishkan, the Mishkan was established. And it's at that point, right, that's when the Sefer Shemos continues, that And at that point, that the cloud hovered over the tent of meeting, uchvod Hashem, and the glory of God, maleah samishkan, the cloud of glory at that point filled up the Mishkan. So, and that's like the very, very end of Sefer Shemos. And at that point, that's when the redemption was complete. At that moment. So therefore, I suggest, and maybe that's Yachomer Rosh Chodesh. Yachomer Rosh Chodesh is not the Aleph Nisan of the first year, but it's Aleph Nisan of the second year. That critical event that took place, that everything sort of came full circle at that moment, maybe that's when we should have our Seder. At that point, commemorating that event of the Mishkan being established, God's Shechina returning, and us having a relationship with Hashem. That was last year, this Parsha Chodesh. This year, Parsha Chodesh, I want to look at the beginning of our Parsha of Shmini, which is the regular Parsha HaShavua. And lo and behold, guess what same day is part does is Parsha Shmini, do the events of Parsha Shmini unfold? It's this day. It's the first day of Nisan. The day, it's now discussing in greater detail what took place on that day when the Mishkan was set up. In fact, the Chazal tell us, based upon the Psukim in the last few weeks, that for 7 days prior, Moshe had been setting up the Mishkan, putting it down. It was an 8-day miluim, an 8-day process of dedicating the Mishkan. Finally, on the eighth day, by Yom HaShemini, it's how Parsha Shemini begins. It was on the eighth day. What happened at that? Rashi says, Shemini l'miluim, the eighth day of the dedication, who Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, now the second year, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Shehukam HaYoshem Bo Bayom. The Mishkan was established on that day. On that day. So this was a day full of joys for the celebration. Of course, tragically, I'm not going to talk about it this now, but there was a terrible tragedy that took place a little bit later on this day, the death of Nadav and Avihu. But leaving that aside for now, this is going to be a day full of joy, full of celebration. Everything again has come full circle at this point. And the opening pasuk is the following. It was on the eighth day. Kara Moshe called out La'aron uvanav to Aaron and his sons, ulezikne Yisrael unto the elders of Israel. Vayomer Aaron, and he said to Aaron, Eagle ben bakar Hashem. He told Aaron, who's now the Kohen Gadol, to bring two special korbanos, two special sacrifices, a sin offering and a whole burnt offering. And then El Bnei Yisrael to the Jewish people to daber lemor. He told the Jewish people, "Kachus yirizim." They also had sacrifices to bring as well. And so, again, so korbanos sacrifices are being offered by Aaron, and they're being offered by the Jewish people. So, at a seemingly insignificant point, but here is where I want to go with. For the remainder of the class, I saw the Nitziv points out that there's a group of people that I just mentioned that on the surface it seems to be questionable why they're mentioned at this point. In other words, Aaron and his sons are mentioned because they have what to do, right? They have to bring certain special sacrifices on this day of dedication as the Kohen Gadol Aaron, the son as the Kohanim. And the Jewish people have certain special sacrifices that they need to offer, that they need to bring. But the question is, why does it also mention Ulizikne Yisrael and the elders of Israel? Again, the opening pasuk is Vayhi b'yom hashmini k'ra Moshe l'Aaron v'anav Ulizikne Yisrael, the elders of Israel. Why are the elders of Israel mentioned? Like, what role do they have at this point? And so the Nitziv notes, we see the elders being invoked, being mentioned many times throughout the Torah. And often when they're mentioned, when they are invoked, they play a prominent role. They assist Moshe and Parshas Baaloscha in judging the people and helping to lead the people. They play different roles within the Torah, but here it seems to be that there's nothing specific that they are doing. So the Tziv says the following. He says, "Afagav should be emes nikolu kol Yisrael olmoed." Even though in truth Moshe is gathering together the entirety of the Jewish people, because it says in the next pasuk that or it says lizikne Yisrael. And by Kuru Kol Ivda, the entire congregation offered sacrifices. By Kol Makom, Kara Moshe B'Yichud L'Zikne Yisrael. But Moshe specifically gathered together the elders, the Zikne Yisrael, like they were singled out for some reason. For some reason, they are singled out. And so suggests in the Tziv, and I saw it's based upon a Mechilta that he quotes in Parshas Shmos. He says the following, let's skip a couple of lines. Avokan lohaya kriya bishvil eza inyan. The truth is, there was no specific need why he called them. There was no specific reason why he had to single out, except for one reason, and one powerful and beautiful reason only. Ela lechalik kavod, just to give them honor. To give them honor and respect. He quotes the Torah's Khan, the Medrash, Shekibud Mazeh Moshe Aaron, gave honor to Aaron and to his children and to the Zikne Yisrael. And he continues and he says that there's a few times in the Torah where Moshe gives specific honor to the Zikanim, although they're not necessarily playing a specific role. And so, for example, he says, that God told Moshe at the snet, the burning bush, Asafta Zikne Yisrael, gather together the elders of Israel. And furthermore, the Mitzrayim in Egypt, when Moshe was sent down to Egypt, he was told to gather the Zikne, the elders, and to go to Paro. Now they don't speak. In fact, they even sort of disappear at that point. But they're called. They're given. They're being second to participate. And here with the Ol Moed, Zikne Yisrael mentions the elders of Israel. And he continues. And he says that, Bahad de Karam, why did he call them in all these instances? Lakavod is for their honor. For their honor. Bashir Az Haisa Simcha Gedol Yisrael, because these moments were moments of great joy for the Jewish people. So Harodos Gilo Shechina, that the Shechina's presence was being revealed. In other words, what I want to suggest is the following. There's a Rashi in two places. Rashi tells us in Parshas Shmos, as well as Parshas Bahaloscha, the following. Let me bring it out, show you in Bahaloscha. When Moshe needs assistance, right? When Moshe needs a help, when Baalos, when Moshe gets overwhelmed, and Hashem says, "Okay, I'm going to give you some people to assist you in leading the Jewish people." So God says the following. This is in a Parshas Baalos, Sefer Bamidbar. This is in the middle of the sixth Aliyah. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. God said to Moshe, "Esfali shivim ish mizikne Yisrael. Gather together 70 elders of Israel." Asher yadata, that you know. Kehem zikne yam, they're the elders of the people. Vishotrav, and they're officers. So Rashi picks up on this phrase, that you know. Asher yadata. What do you mean, you know? How do you know them? So Rashi says the following. O son, sha'ata makir. Which 70 elders? Are probably a lot of elders. But specifically the 70 that you know very well, Shenitnu Aleihem Shochet b'Mitzrayim, Bavodos Parach. They in Egypt were the officers that the Egyptians forced to serve over as taskmasters of the Jewish people. Now, we often think of the Egyptians as taskmasters, but we know that the Jewish people also were forced to enforce certain laws. It's like on the Holocaust, right? Also, right? Also in the concentration camps, the Nazis forced the Jews to have people who would be work on their behalf and to make their lives miserable for their fellow Jews. And there's so much has been written about these Jews and what they did, what they didn't do, and to what extent, and did they protest, stop, they try to help their fellow Jews, did they were complicit? I mean, it's very complicated. And they were put in this horrible predicament. So that took place in Germany, took place during the Shoah, and its roots are back in Egypt. That the Jews were forced to enforce certain laws upon their fellow Jews. And what happened, I'll quote here, Rashi now cites from what he says in back in Parsha Shmos. Again, because who are these 70 elders that are going to go with them? These 70 elders, again, God tells Moshe to take 70 elders and go to Paro. Why? They're not, but they didn't say anything. Again, they even sort of slipped away. Why were they called? So it seems, again, it was a covet. It was an honor to them. Rashi says this is in Parsha Shmos, very end of Parsha Shmos. It says, the pasuk says, right, Moshe came to Paro the first time, and Paro not only did not listen to Moshe, he made matters so much worse for the Jewish people, made them work harder. And then there's a pasuk that says the following. It says, this is in Perek Hei, Pasuk Yudal, beginning of Shmos. Vayaku shotrei bnei Yisrael, the Jewish officers were beaten. The Egyptians beat these Jewish officers. Asher Noksei Paro Lemor, who Paro had appointed, to serve this role, to oversee their fellow Jews. Why were they beaten? Madua lo kilitem chalkam lebon kitmol shoshon. Because Paro said to them, you didn't complete your requirement. Your job was to make sure the Jews do their job. They haven't done their job. They haven't fulfilled their daily, requirements of what is expected of them to produce. And therefore they were beaten. And so says Rashi, these Jewish people, they were tzaddikim. They were righteous. They were forced into this terrible predicament, but they had mercy on their fellow Jews. And they didn't pressure them. They didn't make them work unbearable types of backbreaking labors. And they would turn over the bricks to the taskmasters who were Egyptians. There was always lacking because they didn't make they just couldn't produce, and these Jews had rachmanis on their fellow Jews. And as a result, who got punished? These Jewish officers got punished because they weren't fulfilling the task that they were was required of them. That as a reward for their compassion, for their taking pity upon their fellow Jews, they were given this role of being the Ziknei Yisrael, of being the Shochet, the officers to be part of the Sanhedrin. They ultimately became the judges of the Jewish people, the leaders of they're the ones who assisted Moshe Rabbeinu as a reward for their kindness and their compassion and their sensitivity. And therefore it says, gather the 70 elders, Asher Yadati, Moshe, you know who these people were, right? And so what's happening here is that out of gratitude, Hashem was giving them kavod in these different moments in Jewish history. In other words, they took care of their fellow Jews in the most desperate moments. Therefore, in moments of redemption, of moments of great achievement for the Jewish people, they were asked to have a front row seat. And as Rashi says, or as Netziv says here in our Parsha, that these were moments of, got the exact words we read before. He said these were moments for the Jewish people. Again, the time when they initially came to Moshe, and now, the first time to demand freedom for the Jewish people, when things were finally turning, and now ultimately when the Mishkan is being established, which we said is that's the moment of the ultimate Geula, the ultimate redemption, everything coming full circle. Says the Netziv, this was a time of Simcha Gedolah Yisrael, of great joy for the Jewish people, and as a result, they were given front row seats for these moments. They were singled out. You know, and the thank yous they got they were named. They were everyone. I want to thank, people helped out. They got they made sure that their names were mentioned. And I think I just have to conclude. I think a nice beautiful takeaway of this is that again, I try to dedicate this to grandparents, great grandparents, elders in general. You know, in our lives, we've put in so much work to raise children and grandchildren and to build communities, and it's not easy work, and it's backbreaking labor, and there's lots of ups and downs along the way, and there's moments of great pain and anguish and worry and concern, and there's moments when you feel like you want to give up, and moments when you feel like you're not so successful, and it's not an easy journey. And yet, the blessing is that, or ho hopefully that at down, you know, at a certain stage in your life, you're able to look back and to see, I did a pretty good job. The kids, the grandkids, they turned out okay, right? My students, my community, look what I did, and it was so hard. Right, during the during during the journey and throughout my life, and it was full of tough times, great pain and tears and frustrations, but and that's why I had a simcha, so you invoke the grandparents, the great grandkids, because like that's this is their nachas, Baruch Hashem, like this is kids turned out okay, or your granddaughter, your grandson's becoming bar bat mitzvah, they're getting married. You just had a child, there's children being born. The community is now at a certain place. The Jewish people are now at a certain place, and Hashem wanted the Zakenim to have their moments. And that they could see that, that they suffered for Am Yisrael. They literally physically suffered the Zakenim back in Mitzrayim. But Hashem gave him a little nachas initially when he told them to join Moshe, that initial journey to Egypt. They're also mentioned Har Sinai as being with Moshe as he's going up to ascend Har Sinai. And now here at the establishment of dedication to the Mishkan, even though they're not participating, right? It's only Aaron who brings the korbanos, but we're going to announce that. We're going to tell everyone, take a look at the everyone give Yasher Koyach. Everyone stand up. If they we stand up for our elders because we acknowledge their contributions. We're here today because of them, because of what they did, the dedication, the tears, the work, the tefillos that they invoked, and therefore in many ways I think this introduction to this parsha is a beautiful celebration of our elders, and especially going into to Pesach, when Mitzvah Shem, it's an opportunity for families to be together, and hopefully for generations to be together. It's a time to look back and to be grateful and to be recognize what we have done, and then for the newer generation to be able to demonstrate that the gratitude and that appreciation. Okay, wishing everyone a very good Shabbos, a healthy Shabbos. Shabbos of a peace for our entire people.